Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you doing?
I was going to beat you to the punch there.
Oh, you're quicker.
I was going to ask you first.
You're quicker than I am.
Well, not exactly.
I'm good. I'm coming over a little cold, and I've been noticing how conditioning really kind of waiting in the wings there to kick me when I'm down.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yes.
You'd think you'd get a little sympathy, huh? A little warm, a little warm towel on your forehead or cool towel or whatever it is, and a little hot soup and some sympathy, but uh-uh.
Nope, no go.
Just more abuse.
More abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And helpful to have practice to enable me to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It is helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a real blessing.
Uh-huh.
And how are you today?
Wonderful. Just enjoying life.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk to some of our friends?
Well, I'm working on about three projects that I'm very excited about.
Uh-huh.
And life is busy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have anything to do with three projects that I'm excited about.
Oh, wow.
So I've started on a new program of getting up extra early so that I can work on my projects in the peace and quiet and dark before the rest of the world gets up. So it's being fun.
Are those projects ready to share with the rest of us on the air here?
Well, one is the new book that we're working on, and it's a book of, I think they call it a book of days.
Yeah.
You know, it's a perpetual calendar. So it takes you through a year, we hope, of transformation. And because it's designed to be kind of cumulative in building awareness.
Yeah.
And so full of reminders, which, as far as I'm concerned, are the most important part of practice. You know, practice itself is really simple, and that's the second project. I've just realized that, you know, for years I've been just hitting people over the head with the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention, and we just did a retreat this last weekend in which we broke it down really to very basic kinds of Here's attention and here's awareness and this is how they operate together and this is how you learn to direct your attention and this is how you decide what you want to direct your attention to and then this is how you do that and you do that over and over and over until you prove to yourself that you can have any life experience that you want to have that's absolutely a matter of choice and most of us don't take advantage of that fact. And we just let conditioning choose for us, and conditioning always chooses suffering. But it's not a requirement. And then the hardest piece of that is remembering to do it. So now I have this tool, I have this technique, I can turn my attention. I am convinced that turning my attention to the experience that I want to have is a perfectly valid way to go through life. Now I have to remember to do that. So Those are two of the projects. One is a book, and one is a CD series, and then kind of a retreat on CD, like similar to the unconditional self-acceptance, where
yes.
You know there's some conversation about it, and then exercises where people actually practice turning their attention and making that choice.
Yeah.
And then the third thing is a little booklet that I'm working on for our work in Cantalomba.
Oh, wow.
I find when I go around in the world, you know, people say, oh, you work in Africa, what is that like? And, you know, it's just, but it's such a big story. And by the time, you know, it's a big commitment to tell the story.
Yeah.
And not everybody has that kind of time to sit around and hear the whole story. So I want to do a little booklet that shows the pictures of the people, so people have a sense of who these folks are who live in this community, and then what the problems are that they're facing and what we're doing about them. So it'll, you know, there's no education, and so we're building schools, and we're training teachers, and we're bringing in high-speed internet access, so computers are available to kids and things like that. So there'll be a little page on each one of the problems or issues in the community and how we're working to resolve those problems, and it'll be, you know, bright and beautiful, and hopefully by the time somebody flips through it, it's not a huge, you know, we're busy. We Americans are busy people.
Yeah.
And so hopefully in just a few minutes people can get a sense of what that work is and find out if they're drawn to it and if they would like to participate, and then, you know, we can tell them how to do that. So
yeah.
That's what I'm excited about, getting up early in the morning to work on.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
And your book tour. That's exciting. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I just got a request to write an article on the new book for Tricycle Magazine.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't remember it. You know, it's so long between finishing a project like that, especially for me, because I finish it and then my partner in crime takes it and turns it into a book.
Yeah.
So my part of it ended a year ago, and so it'll be fun. They'll, you know, it's coming out from Shambhala, and so they'll send us some copies, and I'll read it, so that I could be ready for the book tour. I remember I really liked it.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, it has an element to it that, again, that I think is really important, and that is that it has a 30-day retreat in the back of it. You know, day one you do this, day two you do this. And since practice is the whole deal, on this retreat that we just finished, I said to people, now, I just want you to be very clear that you know everything now that you need to know. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't go to any retreat that you want or read anything that you are interested in or whatever, but don't think that there's a piece of missing information. There's nothing that you need to know that you don't have. Now, the work is practice.
Yes.
And, you know, it's the part that we dislike most, and we avoid for just as long as we can, but it does come down to we just have to practice.
Yes, yes, yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. So is anybody calling us to talk about this or anything else?
Yes, at least one, and I'm sure many more are just this moment ready to pick up the phone.
Oh, good.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, Sherry.
What's going on?
Well, I just got back from retreat also.
Oh, that's right. You did. I heard that rumor, as a matter of fact. How was that?
You know, you got to get one of them beach things at the monastery. It's pretty amazing.
A beach thing?
Yeah, one of those beach ocean things.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, we do have one of those. It's not at the monastery, but it's called Carmel, and it's pretty special.
Yes. Yes, that's pretty amazing also,
mm-hmm.
in the same sort of way.
Yeah.
You know, the waves are amazing teachers.
Yes. Much wisdom in that ocean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, of course, Dave and Chris were amazing facilitators.
They are good, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, quite an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Quite an honor to participate in that. Yeah, and I actually had my mind blown this morning. I read a definition of nirvana, that the actual definition of nirvana is extinction.
Yes, it's often compared to you hold up a match and you, and that,
yeah,
is nirvana.
Yes. Yes, and the thing that I was listening to was saying that that it's kind of like, and it's true, and, like, and it's like when he said it, it's like, yeah, I'm doing that. Is that I have this sense with my practice that someday I will reach nirvana, and by very definition, I will never reach nirvana.
Yes, nirvana is the absence of I, isn't it?
Yes, so everything I've been striving for is impossible.
However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't strive.
Yes.
So it's kind of like having an ambition to get the house completely clean.
Yes.
And you can work at it and work at it and work at it and work at it, and it'll never happen.
No, no.
However, the choice then is not, you know, the decision to make is not, well, then I'm not doing anything. Because even though we can't accomplish that goal, if we find joy in the work, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we ever achieve some arbitrary ideal finishing point, something out there on the horizon. I'm going to get there, and then my life will be whatever.
I fall into that trap over and over and over again.
It's the doing, and of course it's not the doing in that sense of somebody doing it, but it's the participation. It's the movement. It's the living that is the joy. Not where we're headed, or not getting to where we think we need to be.
When on retreat, Dave kind of, sort of, in a vague sort of way, gave me the assignment of kind of getting rid of the word I out of my vocabulary.
What are you going to replace it with?
Well, so far, it's hard. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm finding that, you know, it's true. Every time I use the word I, there's an I there to use it.
Yes. I remember one of the most startling moments in my monastic practice was when I realized that every word starts with I and ends, every sentence starts with I and ends with me.
Yes, over and over and over again. And it's like this kind of like, there's like a sense of embarrassment. So far, the only thing I've come up with is this person.
Mm-hmm.
When instead of using the word I, but that sounds funny.
Uh-huh.
So there's like,
well, and doesn't it kind of take you to the point of questioning how much of it you want to say?
Yes.
In other words, how many of those sentences that start with I and end with me actually need to be said?
I'm finding that, and there's like a sense of stubbornness that comes up in wanting to say them, but it's not a sense of, like, that's the survival aspect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ego definitely wants to say those sentences.
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, so it's kind of, you've talked before about, like, you know, setting up a practice and seeing how you don't do it.
Yes.
You know,
so for people who haven't heard that notion, you decide that you're going to sit for half an hour, five mornings a week. And then the way we're conditioned to think about that is, and now you have to make yourself do it, and if you don't, you're a failure, and you're wrong, and a bad person, and all these other things. But the other way to do it is to set that up, that structure up, and then watch how it doesn't happen. Just watch the process instead of getting caught up in the accusations and the labels and that sort of thing.
Yes, how I'm not doing this simple thing.
Mm-hmm. So the voices say, oh, I'm too tired, I don't really want to get up, or, oh, I'm too busy, I'm late now, I can't, or my leg hurts, or
Yes.
And it's just an endless stream of excuses and rationalizations and distractions and unconsciousness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Until you're all caught up in the waves and...
Yeah, and so we get to see that rather than living in a story of what this means is I'm a bad, wrong person. Because the story about I'm a bad, wrong person is what keeps us from seeing how we're being conned into not doing what we want to do.
Which is, yeah, kind of waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of finding that like there's a strong distinction between being on retreat and then being back out in the world. And there have been a couple unfulfilled things that I've done since being on retreat.
Uh-huh.
And kind of watching, you know, that whole temptation to make that mean that I'm a bad person.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, from conditioning's perspective, everything means you're a bad person.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's always the conclusion.
Yes, I spent years in that space.
Yeah, everything leads to this is what's wrong with you.
Yes.
Yeah, in the world of conditioning, which is a good argument for leaving that world, moving out of that world and into another world where everything doesn't mean that.
Yes. And all of this leaves me with a really strong sense of gratitude that you're willing to share this with us.
Oh, gratitude for everybody who has devoted their lives to this practice down through the years so that it's available to us today. It's just a huge debt that we owe them. And that can inspire us to want to be those people as well. So that this glorious gift that we have been given, we can pass on to the next generation.
It's quite a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Well, glad you're out there. Glad you're practicing.
Every moment. We're trying to.
To the best of our ability, huh? Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. The phone lines are open here. You can reach us toll-free in North America at 866-613-1612. If you're further away than that, you can reach us at 001-858-268-3068. And, Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello.
What's going on tonight?
I kept getting told all week that I should never call this show again because I had used up my allotted number of times that I could call.
Uh-huh. That must be written down somewhere. I haven't seen that, but I'm sure it's written down somewhere. And conditioning is keeping a good eye on it.
Yeah, it's good at keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
But I went ahead and called anyway because I'm feeling like I need some guidance with my practice. I find that my sitting practice that I do every morning and evening. Combined with the non-dominant hand journaling is a really powerful way to come to center.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening in the rest of my life is that it feels like there's just an unbelievable amount of talk about how everything's wrong and needs to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of resistance to returning to the breath. And it takes the form a lot of getting caught in the story that I should move to the monastery. And that if I don't do that, I can't really practice.
Now, you know the quickest way to put that an end to that, don't you?
What would that be?
Start making plans to move to the monastery. Believe me, it will change its tune in a big hurry.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, and I have to say that that strikes fear in my heart.
Mm.
Just hearing that.
Yeah, it strikes fear in ego's heart.
In ego's heart.
Yes.
Mm.
Not that ego has a heart, but that fear that you feel is ego.
Mm.
The only thing that feels fear is ego. So anytime we're afraid, we know it's ego.
Oh. Wow.
It just gets a lot of mileage out of having us believe that it's us, that, you know, it's me. I'm afraid. And to the degree that I believe I'm ego, then, yeah, I'm afraid. But as we watch more carefully, we realize that actually, no, I'm observing that fear, and that fear actually belongs to ego. So yes, ego wants to torture you with, you cannot practice unless you go to the monastery, because it's pretty sure you're never going to go to the monastery. But if you suddenly decide to go to the monastery, then it starts backpedaling.
Oh,
wait a minute, how can you do that? How can you leave your family, your friends, your
right.
your work? How irresponsible.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like calling its bluff.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
Or you could just say, that's nonsense, and we're not having that conversation. Or you can have that conversation, but I won't be joining you for it. Because, in fact, I am practicing, and currently I live here.
Hmm. Yeah. It's really. I've been observing how my conditioning, keeps reversing itself.
Yes.
And like, if I don't feel well in my body, conditioning will say, "You don't feel well because you're a bad person."
Yes. And again, notice. You don't feel well because you are a bad person.
Uh-huh.
It's not you talking.
Oh, right. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. That's really good.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So it's about syntax, really.
Oh. And of course, it, yeah. That's the relationship.
Yeah.
It talks to you. It calls you names. It threatens you,
right.
It browbeats you, it humiliates you. That's the relationship. It against you.
Mm-hmm. It just really doesn't like the notion that it could be as simple as returning to the breath.
It wants your life.
Right.
And it's really not excited about you having it.
Right.
When you have your life force, when you have your attention and awareness,
yes.
in the moment, and it's
right.
available for you and you're alive, it has no life. And so pulling you into a conversation about this stuff, getting your attention, getting your awareness turned to it, gives it life.
Because you're basically, when you do that, you're lending your sort of life force to it, or you're
precisely
surrendering it to it.
Precisely. And, you know, that can sound kind of out there.
Uh-huh.
If you think about it, it's the same kind of thing that we can get going with another person.
Right.
So, you know, you have a coworker or a neighbor or whatever who wants to be in relationship with you and wants it to be unpleasant.
Yeah.
It, for whatever combination of reasons, really enjoys getting you engaged in unpleasantness. And you can have a sense that you're really feeding this person when you buy into it. that you're giving them what they want, that they thrive on that drama or adrenaline or whatever it is that they're getting out of it.
Right.
And when you withdraw your attention from them, they escalate it. They have to work that much harder to try to get you drawn in. And when you withdraw your attention and awareness completely, then they lose something, and you can sense that they lose it. They no longer have the ability to control your behavior. And they're diminished by that. You can sense that they are diminished by that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And
yeah.
And actually, I've had that experience of kind of catching them doing something that was really ridiculous.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's like the voice changes quality. It's like it has this kind of tinny quality, like it's not real.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that's what I project that you mean by that. It's like it loses its,
yeah,
you know, the real power.
Yeah.
And like, it's just kind of like, yeah, yakking away.
Yeah. I was just kidding. No, this is not, yeah. No, that's not real. You're right. Don't pay any attention to me. I'm gone. Bye. And often it'll just disappear. It just poofs. You turn all of your attention to it and call it for what it is, and that's the end of it.
Mm.
You know, again, with somebody who's bullying in that way.
Right.
To just turn around and look them in the eye and say, you know, now you're not taking this seriously, are you? Because I'm certainly not.
Right, right.
And there's just nowhere for them to go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All of these things that we're describing are what we talk about as disidentification.
Uh-huh.
You can't do it when you're buying into the reality of the situation. If you think these voices are real, if you think they're powerful, if you're afraid of them, if you don't want them to call you names or point out your mistakes, you're helpless, hopeless. You're a victim. But as soon as you disidentify, immediately, in that split second, you can see them for what they are. That they're powerless, they're silly, they're ridiculous, they're absurd.
Yes.
You're free. Nothing has happened, and you're free.
Right. Right. And I have had that experience. And then immediately after that, there's just like a storm of that wasn't real.
That's right.
That's not, that didn't really happen. And,
yep,
you know, you were being fooled and,
yep,
all of this stuff.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And then there's,
that's one of those, me thinks you are protesting too much. If what you're saying is true, what are you so worked up about?
Yeah, it's like, why not just leave it alone?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, when you're disidentified, you can see it. You can see how pathetic it is, scrambling around trying to be powerful again. But when you're in relationship with it and you're a little frightened person who believes all of this stuff is real and true,
uh-huh,
then it's not funny. It's not, yeah. You're just going to be a victim to it until you disidentify. Which is why we practice dropping everything and coming back to center.
Mm-hmm.
So that when that stuff comes at us, we can drop it and come back to center. We know how to do that.
Right.
It's like learning CPR on a dummy.
You
know, because if it's a real person, it's not a good time to learn CPR. You want to be so good at it that when the emergency happens, it's just automatic.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, that's good. So, what do you think a next step for me might be?
Keep practicing.
Keep practicing.
Yeah. And just know that this is it. This is your practice right now. This
right.
is what's going on. It's going to try to talk you out of practicing. It's going to run all of its numbers on you that have always worked to make you feel bad and to control you. And this stage is you being present, seeing how all of that happens, and ceasing to believe it.
Right.
Yeah. That's what goes on now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it can be fun, I hope it will be fun for you.
Well, I've actually noticed that it can be fun. It's kind of like when conditioning gets really out of control, and I'm believing it, and then all of a sudden, and it usually happens when I'm exercising or something, and my body just feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of a sudden I'm like, what are you talking about? And then it's like I just start to laugh.
Yeah.
Because it's so ridiculous. It's so obvious that I feel good, and this thing is telling me I feel bad. It's just like, it's laughable. It's
yeah.
like.
And you can see why people are not allowed to exercise.
Yes.
Yeah? Why they're not allowed to go outside and be in nature. Why they're not allowed to do all the kinds of things that make a person feel good. Because when we feel good, it's very easy to disidentify.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So an argument for meditating, paying attention, learning how to disidentify, drop it and come back to the breath, and an argument for taking really, really good care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when you're happy and you feel good, it's almost an automatic disidentification. Very hard for conditioning to get a hold of a happy person who feels good, feels strong and healthy. Very difficult.
Yes, it seems to like it best when I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, the defense...
Or you've eaten too much.
Right.
Or you've had too much to drink. Or you've been staying up too late or drinking too much coffee or eating too much sugar. All of those things that just kind of throw a body off. Conditioning just loves those moments. Yeah. All right. Well, keep us posted. I don't think you've used up your allotment yet. I don't know. We'll check with the police. But
okay.
So.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good
Bye-bye.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Roger. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to break now, and we'll be back in just a minute. Coming up next on Open Air, in the second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I'm reminded of something that you've said before about having fun.
Hmm.
And that is, if I'm not having fun, then I know I'm identified.
Right.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, it's true.
It is true.
If I'm not enjoying life, if I'm not happy, however we want to talk about it, then
yeah.
I know I'm identified with conditioning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when we were talking with Roger about a minute ago about disidentifying, during the break, I thought about something that is clear to me, but I realize might not be clear to everyone, that when I talk about getting up early in the morning to do those projects, the reason that I like to do that is because they're part of practice.
Uh-huh.
They help me disidentify. They
uh-huh.
help me stay centered. I can't work on a project about learning how to direct the attention and turn the attention toward the life experience that I want without being in that place.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to me. It's thrilling to me. It's what I love to do. And I would just really encourage everybody to find something that it's not like becoming passionate about a hobby. It's not that. It's something that causes one to be present.
Uh-huh.
And so it has that practice element to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing something that causes one to be present.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sitting obviously does that for us, but this has a different tone to it. It's one of the other practices that I'm really enjoying currently is reading Wang Po. I wrote in the last 20th email about Wang Po, and
yeah.
I get up early in the morning and read some Wang Po before I start on my other things, and it's just that kind of just coming back to center, just a reminder of who I am and what I'm doing and what's important to me. And I would rather do that than indulge any voices or any conversation about something outside of the moment that I'm living in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it seems to me, and it sounds like this is what you're pointing at, is that I can make life choices that encourage me or cause me to be present.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always exciting, too.
Yes, yeah, and to seek out those things.
Yes.
So that practice is not some dreaded, awful thing that at the end of a hard, miserable day of being beaten up by self-hate, I have to now do some spiritual practice thing, but to make it something that is really, that you really love, that you enjoy, and that fulfills you, and is exciting. You look forward to it. You want to do it.
Yes, yes. And for me, doing this radio show is one of those things.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not here, it's pretty obvious.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you do the radio show, and there's the hour that we're on the air, but then there are all of the other things about the radio show that you do.
Yes.
And they can all be things that remind you to come back and be present and kind of cause you to be present, require you to be present. Sometimes it even feels like we're a little bit forced to be present. And that's a good thing because it's all supportive of who we really are.
It is. It is. That's definitely my experience. Mm-hmm. Let me give out that phone number again. Toll free in North America, 866-613-1612. We'd love to hear from you today, and the phone lines are open. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Catherine from St. Louis, Missouri. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, can you hear me? Everybody kind of faded out just then.
Oh, well, are we back?
Oh, there you are. Yes.
Be there.
Okay.
Yeah, so how's it going? Do we have a report?
Well, I need some guidance.
Okay.
I do have a report. Well, last week, what I discovered when I was writing out my 10 things I want to do this year and in my life, I was not writing down what I really want because I don't think I can have it.
Uh-huh.
And which was interesting. And
do you get the peace quotes?
Yes.
Yeah. So the one recently, argue for your limitations and they'll be yours.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's true.
There it is, huh?
Yeah.
The conditioning taught you. Well, don't write that down because that's not realistic. You can't really have that. So here, write this thing down because, maybe you could have that.
Right, and then you won't feel bad about yourself when you fail and, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wanting and is another job, a different job.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of decided this last week that I really did want, that's what I wanted, to leave the newspaper, and without really any clear idea of what I wanted to go to. And
which is not the best approach, is it?
No.
You've noticed that, huh?
Yes, I have noticed that. And
yeah, it's like I don't want to live in this house. I don't know where I do want to live, but I just don't want to live in this house. You could wind up in the yard.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now, since something did kind of happen at work that sort of pushed me in this direction, too, last week. And so in the past week, what I've noticed is a variety of subpersonalities have weighed in on this, and conditioning is there. And right now, a week later, I'm mostly depressed and rather confused and not and suspicious of the whole thing of wanting another job. And I'm not now clear on what I want.
And you never were.
Yes, that's true. Well, I guess. Well, I mean, I thought I wanted it just to leave. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find it. So I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to go out and I'm going to find that job.
You know, right. But that's not what you were focused on. You were focused on, I don't want this one.
You're right.
So yeah. you got that. You got very clear about that. I don't want this one.
Right.
But it didn't take you anywhere because you weren't going anywhere.
Right.
It just took you to, I don't want this.
Right. And
yeah.
And so I was writing out the story around this yesterday, and I'm wondering if I was just in something wrong mind, and that was what it was.
I would be supportive of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, focusing on what we don't have does not create an opening.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, you can just get a sense of that energetically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm focused on a negative. Focusing on a negative is not going to create a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want something new, then you need to turn your attention to an opening. To something new.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay.
Yeah. Now, you know, it probably set everybody off, but it is even possible to focus on something new where you are.
Mm-hmm. Like new possibilities staying
there. Yes. And it doesn't even have to be staying there. It's just new possibilities there. So how could where you are be the job you want?
Excellent question. And what's clicking for me is that I want to work in a kind place where people are kind. And the truth is, I'm not very kind to myself here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a feeling I'm not very kind to other people either.
Without a big opening for self-hatred, it's probably true
mm-hmm.
that you are not going to win any awards for kind employee of the whatever.
Employee right? of the month, kind of.
Yeah. And, of course, what conditioning wants us to believe is, well, but it's the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
If I were in a different job with different people, then I would be a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, probably most of us have been alive long enough to know that's a con job.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to be in a place of kindness, how do I create a place of kindness?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, what we want to believe is it would be easier somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it wouldn't. So creating a kind atmosphere takes whatever time, energy, attention that takes. It could be really fun and easy.
Mm-hmm.
It could be really long and laborious.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
Can you get a sense of that?
Mm-hmm.
And it would be what you were able to bring to it that would make the difference.
Right.
Right? Because you could start off terribly inspired, and then people don't really, people aren't actually going to change very much just because you're kind. Mm-hmm. They might, but they might not. Mm-hmm. And so after a very short period of time, we can guess that conditioning would start in with, well, this isn't working, and it doesn't matter, and nobody cares, and why are you doing this, and you're the only one, and
mm-hmm.
you suspect that that might be how it would go.
It's how it's already been going, so absolutely.
Yeah, and then you get you buy into it and get talked out of it, and
mm-hmm.
da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, we were talking earlier about setting up a practice to see how you don't follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this would be an excellent place to do that kind of experiment. So I'm going to create the atmosphere that I want to work in. And I guess that everybody else wants to work in that atmosphere too, but I don't really care. I'm creating the one that I want to work in. And then now that is the actual experiment. What happens with my determination to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And as with making a change for good, or whatever that new book is titled, coming out pretty soon, you would get to the point of giving up and listen to all the conditioned voices, and then you would say, okay, well, this isn't getting us where we want to go, so I'm going to recommit to making this the atmosphere that I want to work in, and here we go.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there are no limits on this. Just whatever it would take to make it a place that you really want to be in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As long as I'm focused on creating this for myself, creating this atmosphere for myself, it sounds like, wow, that could be really fun.
Oh.
And I get to, I've got to change all these people. It just gets depressing.
That sounds hard, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they might not want to change. Or
right.
They might want to change, but really have no idea how to go about doing that.
Or they might think I'm the one who needs to change.
They might.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in your circumstances, can you do things like decorating?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can.
Yeah, so you can decorate. You can surround yourself with things that you love. Can you listen to things that you want to listen to?
Yes, I can.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this
okay.
could be good.
I can listen to the radio show.
Uh-huh.
So,
uh-huh. So you can listen to us. You can listen to all kinds of reminders.
Yes, I can. Reassurances.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good.
Good. All right, well, keep us posted.
I will. Thank you so
much. You could start a revolution.
Ooh.
And you see people, workers all over the world, you know, creating kindness areas
mm-hmm.
in their workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Kindness zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, kindness zones. I like.
Wow.
Good.
Kindness zone. Oh, okay.
The kindness zone. And, of course, as soon as people get wind of this, they're going to do everything they can to make sure that you can't stick to that. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So people, there are going to be
people
the people
outside
who are going
and
to
inside.
Make fun of it, and the people who are going to want to tease and taunt and all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a Gandhi-esque opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. I'll keep you posted. Thanks.
Good. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
Now, that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Sherry, I say, let the revolution begin.
Yeah. Spreading kindness everywhere.
Yeah.
Takeover.
That's inspiring. We have another caller here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 10 or so minutes left.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Jeffrey from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. Hi, Sherry.
Good evening, Hi. Jeffrey.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
You made it home safe and sound?
Yes, I did. Very, very long flight on which I was practicing saying I love you to myself.
Oh, that makes the time go by a little faster, doesn't it?
It was wonderful.
At least the company is good.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, I wasn't planning on calling, but I wanted to tell you a little bit about my trip because what you were saying, especially to Roger, resonated with me. I was on the train going back to the airport and completely identified, completely lost in the story, feeling terrified. And the story from conditioning was that the outside world is a terrible place and it's evil and you're going to be in my clutches when you get there.
Mm.
And I simply, just in a moment of great stillness, I said, no. I know that I'm not a victim and I'm not going to do this one. I'm going to opt out. And that was it.
And that was it. That was the end of it.
Yeah.
It just fell away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I started practicing saying I love you to myself, and that was it. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah. That's good. That's it.
Yeah.
It will take any amount of your life that you'll give it. If you don't give it any, it doesn't get any. Then it's all for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been practicing saying no to other stories and other stuff that it comes up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to be mean or hateful, right? Just, no. No, that's not what I want to give my life to.
I'm not going to do this one.
Yeah. I don't want to have that conversation. Thank you. Thank you. That is not a world that I want to build and live in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, it felt like I was an adult dealing with conditioning.
Yes.
It felt like a playground scenario, but I was an adult talking to a fourth grader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Instead of another
fourth grader talking to a fourth grader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and just like that, it turns. You move from being powerless and terrified and out of control to being a grown-up who is fine, who's equal to his life, who enjoys his life, who sees possibility.
Yeah, it was quite a shift.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I live for those stories, you know. They make me really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will too.
Yeah, good. That's excellent. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. Sherry, we have a couple more minutes here, and we have one more caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Lynn from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Wow, I made it.
Good evening. The name blipped out. I'm sorry.
Pardon?
Lorraine.
Lorraine. Ah.
Yes.
Good
Hi,
evening.
Milwaukee.
Good evening. What's going on in Milwaukee?
Lots and lots of snow.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's gorgeous.
I bet it is.
It is just beautiful. It's like winter is here again, the old winters of my memory.
Aha. Uh-huh. And we all thought this year, no winter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Sherry, I'm just thrilled to be talking to you and Michael. Because this is really, I rarely get a chance to do this, and I managed to get home early from work, and I take the train on this day to Chicago, so we got out because of the snow, and I thought, yes, I can call Sherry tonight.
Oh, good. Good. So what's going on in the world of spiritual practice?
Well, the thing that's really on my head right now is, should I, can I, may I come to the Mexico retreat?
Oh, of course you should.
Well,
of course you may, and absolutely you can.
Well, that voice in my head saying, one, it's too expensive, and two, you know...
Of course it's too expensive.
All right. I mean, I'm really using this to scare away that voice because I've been playing around at, you know, coming up with the... I called the monastery, I registered, and there's been, you know, changes in my life, but they're all to the good, and I can do this, I think. I just haven't yet done it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can clear my calendar.
Yeah, you know, it's perfect, isn't it? Because, you know, conditioning would have us postpone our lives forever. And then when we have postponed them until it's too late, it says, now see, why did you do that? There you let your whole life slip by. You didn't do this and this and this and this, and it's kept track. It's like, you know, the time police. It keeps track of every time it talked you into not doing something that you want to do, and then it's going to throw it back in your face and blame you for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought I'd better call my expert voices, someone like you, to scare them off. Because
yeah, the Ghostbuster.
I have a hunch that when I get off, I might just go and sit for a while and then play around on the computer and see if I get the right price because I know how much it meant when I went 2 years ago, and I need to do a retreat, I think, at the monastery or with you every year. I mean, to me, that's part of how I manage because it's just all, and I don't just manage, it's all getting much, much clearer. It's
yeah.
amazing. It's
yeah.
like a,
yeah.
it's like being a kid again.
Yeah, and the support is really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and then it's like, well, it's Mexico, and, you know, and it's just indulgent.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Just, oh.
Who says awareness practice has to be grim? Not me.
Well, right, okay. Well, that's a hard voice, Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a hard voice. I mean, I've said, well, go to one of the extended periods at the monastery. At least you'll be at the monastery. That's not so indulgent.
Uh-huh.
So is there a right or, I mean,
well,
you know, so that's,
you know,
the voice.
The only thing that's indulgent is indulging ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only indulgence, and, of course, ego never identifies that as an indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
So indulging those voices that tell you how you have to live your life and what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what this is and how you should this. Indulging that, that's indulgent.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very hard habit to break.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And, I mean, I laugh because I wouldn't ever have thought 2 or 3 years ago that going to a retreat was indulgent.
Right.
I mean, so now I guess that it's really begun to matter deeply to me, then I have that voice that says it's indulgent. So maybe I can identify that as self-hate and the one that
I... Oh, don't you think?
Manage. Pardon?
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right, well, I'm going to put my energy into a good flight.
All right. And I will hope to see you in March.
Good. I'll look forward to it.
I do too. All right. Have a wonderful
night.
Week, all of you.
All right.
Thanks, Sherry and Michael.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lorraine. You've been listening to another great edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber.
And, you know, before we say goodnight, we
yes.
can open that invitation up to everyone. Lorraine doesn't have to travel there on her own. Everybody's welcome.
Yes. To
There's
Mexico
no
in March.
Not to do awareness practice in paradise.
Wow, it sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.